if you're feeling low down, cause the skies are gray, just wrap your cares in rhythm and dance. Dance your cares away. Give old gloom the showdown, he'll be on his way. Just wrap your cares in rhythm and dance. Oh, dance your cares away. Now I'm here to teach you all how to make your life a song. Just you keep tapping on wood with your feet, and you can't go wrong. Next time you're in trouble, you'll come out okay. Just wrap your cares in rhythm and dance. I'm gonna give you one more chance. Just wrap your cares in rhythm and dance.
I spoke to Harold Nicholas in 1985. He told me that when he and his brother Fayard were growing up in Philadelphia, their parents were performers.
My brother sometimes would play hooky and go to the shows, and that's where he learned to tap dance. That's how he picked it up, from watching the dancers on stage.
Did he just pick it up, or did anyone teach
him? Just like that. And then he came home and said, listen, I'm going to do something for you. I said, what? I'm going to teach you to dance. At the beginning was kind of, you know, I was, oh, I can't get this, because I was left-footed, shall we say. I couldn't do a step only on one foot. That's what it was. But one day when I finally learned how to do the time step, which is the basic of tap dancing, you know, I learned how to do that. Then I was home free.
Yeah. How old were you then?
Oh, mamma mia. How old was I then? I was about five or six, because it was right away. It didn't take us too long to get started, you know, because the minute that our parents saw what we could do, when we showed them a routine that we put together, you know, after I had learned and everything, my brother taught me this routine, we put it together and they looked at us and they said, well, that's it. We're going to quit what we're doing and just manage the boys.
Had you been doing the splits and leaps yet when you were that young?
No, not really. Well, I did splits because I was taking acrobatics from a stage manager where my mother and daddy were working in the theater, you know. I would go there, and he would teach me how to tumble a little bit. So from there, I knew how to do. I was doing the splits and doing backflips, things like that.
Now, you got into the Cotton Club when you were, I think, like 8 years old?
Mm-hmm.
That's really young.
That's what I'm saying,
because,
well, I started, he taught me when I was young, and right from there, we started at the Horn and Hart at Kitty Hour, that was here, you know, here in Philadelphia. And from there, we just popped right on out.
Did the musicians take you under their wing and become figures?
Everyone did. Yeah, the musicians, the people around, and the audiences also, you know, because the stars used to come up, and they used to ask to see us and talk to us. And we were the only ones that could go out, actually, in the audience and talk to the people. Because the people would ask for us. Yeah, because in those days, you know, the blacks couldn't associate with the people. They could work. They worked there and did the show and everything, but they couldn't come out front and sit down and, you know, and talk with the patrons or something like that. But we were allowed to do it, I guess, because we were kids also. But we did it.
You started in movies when you were really young. Now, someone who really became a big star when she was really young was Shirley Temple. And mm-hmm. She was given all kinds of leading roles, yeah. And roles that I think you wouldn't have had the opportunity to have because you were black in Hollywood and she mm-hmm. was a white youngster mm-hmm. in Hollywood. How or where were you, especially when you were younger in movies, of the racial divisions that dictated the kind of roles you were going to be given?
Well, I was aware of it because I'm sure they probably wanted to give us maybe some roles, but it would probably have been a role as a bootblack that came out to dance or something, or a role as a houseboy or something that dances around the house or something. So rather than to accept anything like that, we said, well, we'd dance. Just let us dance. Do what we know how to do and what we can do. You know, there's no need. So they couldn't find Oh, yeah, that they weren't even thinking of trying to write us into the script like they used to do Donald O'Connor or Gene Kelly or Fred Astaire or somebody like that, you know. So all we had to do was just dance. And Cesar Romero said, you know, this is something else, because here we are, the actors, we work our heads off trying to do great in this movie, and even if we do great, here you come along for 4 minutes and you steal the movie. You know, now Cesar Romero said this to us one evening. He'd say, hey, and he says, I don't like it. So I told him, I said, well, maybe if they wrote us in the script, it would be a little different, you know. But they never, just Lena Horne was the same way. If you notice, you know, when she was working with MGM, they never included her in the movie, in the script of the movie. She was always, we were the two people, the two top black people in movies that were just doing their number or their thing and absolutely taking the movie, you know, over taking it over by storm.
When did you start really putting in a lot of acrobatics into your dance?
That's when we went to Hollywood. You see this film that's in that's dancing now? That was one of the first films that we did for 20th Century Fox Studios. And when we went out there, we met a gentleman by the name of Nick Castle, who was a choreographer. And he worked with us for this movie. But basically, that was really our routine that we did in nightclubs and theaters and everything. And after that, we got a contract with 20th Century Fox Studios to do movies. I think so many movies a year, shall we say. And that's when Nick Castle started thinking up all these wild ideas, wild tricks to do.
Were you able to do all of them? Did he come up with some tricks that you tried and you just couldn't?
No, there was never anything, because he wouldn't take no for an answer.
Okay, well let's talk about, let me remember which film it was. The one where you run up the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Was it from Down Argentine Way?
No, that was Orchestra Wives.
Okay, yeah.
With Glenn Miller's orchestra, remember?
Would you describe that sequence for our listeners who haven't seen
it?
That
particular sequence?
Yeah,
well, to learn that trick, Nick Castle came and he says, listen, I got an idea. I said, yeah, okay, what is it? Well, Fayard, you see, I want you to run and jump up on the wall. Just jump as high as you can and then jump off into a split. I said, hey, that sounds good. He said, yeah. And Harold, he says, I want you to go on the other side and run up this wall, walk up the wall, turn over, and do a split. I said, you're kidding. He said, no, I'm serious. You can do it. I said, come on, Nick. I mean, you know, why can't I just run and jump like my brother did? He said, no, we got to be different. So he says, don't worry, we'll learn it. And now they got two fellas. This is for learning the trick, you know. They put a belt around me with the straps on the side, you know. Ropes on each side, and they held it. He said, now, you just go ahead and try it, and the guys will hold it. They won't let you fall. So he said, so I went and I ran and jumped the wall, but they held me, you see. I said, you see what I'm telling you? He said, you can do it, he says. I said, keep trying, don't worry about it. Don't you know, forget it. They're going to hold you. Don't think about falling. So I did that for about 3 or 4 times, and Nick Castle went over to the fellas, you know. He said, listen, this time, don't hold him. Let him go. When he goes up the wall, let the rope go. So we're running, and I did it. And I ran up the wall, and I did the 1, 2, 3 walk and turned over and went down into a split. And I come up, and I said, oh, boy, you really held that one good. So the guys were outside somewhere. They said, no, you did it by yourself. I dropped right on my knees. But after that, I had no trouble at all doing it, because I got it out of my system. That was fear, so to speak, you know.
You performed with your brother as a team for years. I mean, from the time that you were like 6
till Julie.
And he's I think 7 years older than you. Was there a lot of competition between you both?
No, not really. No, everyone tells me, you know, if I'm doing something by myself and my brother's around, I mean, it's like he's doing it also, because he's moving and he's, you know, he's my greatest audience, shall we say, you know. If no one else enjoyed what I was doing, he would enjoy it. So there has never been any friction, shall we say, between us, you know.
Harold Nicholas recorded in 1985. He died Monday at the age of 79. Here he is on the 1946 original cast recording of the Harold Arlen, Johnny Mercer musical, St. Louis Woman.
High luck or low luck or no luck at all, I'll never care if I rise or I fall. I've learned a lesson since we've been apart. I'll do all right if I follow my heart. I walk under ladders, number 13 doesn't scare me, 'cause I'm dressed up in a rainbow and I'm riding on the moon. Old jeans had me cornered, but I found out how to shake it, and my true love helped me break it. Now I'm riding on the moon. Oh, yes, you can preach it, sister, while I shout for joy. Oh, yes, say hello to Lady Love's baby boy. You're my ring of rose.
Coming up, book critic Maureen Corrigan on the Harry Potter phenomenon. This is Fresh Air.